Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still at it, John.
He's still here. Earlier he woke up, which was tremendous.
Right.
And actually, we have a very exciting guest now who's an author, and his name is Jim Smith. And I know Jim for X number of years now, but a couple of things. One thing, which I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention, is, and everybody in the town of North Hempstead knows Tom DiNapoli. And Tom DiNapoli ran for office at the age of 18. And Jim Smith was the reporter who wrote the first article on Tom DiNapoli when he was 18 and he won the Mineola Board of Ed contest.
That was a much easier story to write than the vignettes in the book, which some of which I was under fire for.
But so that's where he got his start. But now the book is an amazing thing because Jim was basically a reporter during the war.
Yes, and I typed up my own orders and got myself transferred from a desk job to Saigon based on the fact that I had a civilian acquired skill, which was I had spent 4 years at Newsday before I went in the Army.
As a reporter.
As a sports reporter.
Yeah.
Oh, you were a sports reporter then?
Yes.
Okay. And I know.
By the way, that's a subject that I would be very interested in because I like sports and used to follow some of the older writers. Like, I remember, like, Dick Young and the news, not a Newsday. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for a book that has a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah, actually, I don't even bought the book.
I did buy the
book.
I
was talking about
it. Sales have doubled.
It brought me up to 105 books sold.
No, but this the undertaking of a book is a major thing. I mean, I know it took some time, but it's interesting from the fact that Jim lived the information in the book. That's the point. So it's not like I was writing a story about something I heard, which is very nice. You were there, and you've seen all this stuff. So tell us about, first, what made you want to write the book?
Well, in my own notebooks, I have red grease pencil markings that say for the book. So when I was reporting for Stars and Stripes, I knew that someday I would write a book. But up through 1999, mainstream publishers passed on it, despite me walking around proposals and sample chapters. So I just put it on hold until I retired from Newsday and was able to focus on it. I rewrote a third of my original manuscript and got some help from the folks at iUniverse Publishers in Bloomington, Indiana, and I self-published.
Just to back up for a second, Jim, you were in Vietnam in the Army, basically, I think for a year. Just so people get that, you know, that, and you were there during the time of when it wasn't a nice place to visit. It wasn't exactly a vacation place. And I was just curious, you probably knew as much about the geography of Vietnam as anybody else, because I did happen to read your book and you were all over the place. And I was curious about the process, like John just mentioned the notes and how you put together markings on it. This is for the book. I'm trying to visualize. Here you are out in Vietnam, back in the era when people didn't have laptops or
GPS
or, you know, little phones that you could put notes into. So here you are. You're over there, and you're not living necessarily in the lap of luxury, and you have to have notebooks and stuff to be able to keep track of all these things. You know, just to me, just the process of doing that had to be, you know, how'd you schlep all these things around with you from all these different places you went to?
Well, I was there at the same time as Peter Arnett and George Esper and Chad Huntley and some of the great reporters and writers. And, you know, I kept my mouth shut and I watched them work and I imitated their behavior. And I had an advantage in that even though I was in the Army, I could conduct myself as a civilian. So I had the best of both worlds. I had access to enlisted men's clubs, officers' clubs. I could go places and talk to people that the regular correspondents could not.
Because you were a reporter for Stars and Stripes, right?
Right. And I started to build up a reputation as somebody who could be trusted, who wouldn't report troop movements or strength of unit and all the stuff that were on the no list that they did not want the enemy to know. So, you know, but also I was subject to censorship and basically limited to writing positive stories, not lies, but positive stories.
Yeah, I saw you had an one section actually in your book about being censored early on, and they kind of told you if you want to keep being a reporter for Stars and Stripes to do what you just said, write positive stuff.
Right, and you know, the alternative was to continue to try to be a maverick, and my boss said that I would be slinging hash in the Mekong Delta as a cook if I kept up the tack that I had taken. So I toned down my act and I got with the program.
We had talked once earlier, and that's not unusual, really, because I know during World War II, people who wrote letters, they censored the letters mm-hmm. because they really didn't want everybody to know where everybody was going and what was going on. So it's not really abnormal. We may think about freedom of speech, but there's certain times where you have to.
Freedom of speech, yes, but then it's given out information accidentally, but nevertheless, information that gets into the wrong hand that becomes, unfortunately, very bad against us at that point in time, right. Obviously.
And my specialty was really finding heroes immediately after the fact, so that I wasn't standing next to them as they were doing heroic things. But when they were back in the club at night, I pulled interviews out of them about the heroic things that they had done. And, of course, I lead off the book with 15 vignettes involving combat heroes. That is the strongest stuff that I have.
Right.
Yeah, I like the way you had the book organized, you have a section on combat heroes, on the people who did some good there, who the units were, who the Vietnamese people were. I found that very interesting, the way you laid it out.
Unfortunately, I had to pay $3,700 for an edit that I basically threw in the trash can and used my own organization, but live and learn.
Well, figuring really, you were a writer for a while.
You went to a professional, obviously.
Yes, and they wanted me to go chronologically, which I told them from the beginning I did not want to do, because who cares about my 5 months in a base camp as a clerk playing softball and listening to music? You know, I put that in the back of the book because I thought it was less compelling.
Well, the back of the book I found very interesting. You and I are in the same camp as far as your conclusion goes, and I noticed that you have the your veterans, United Veterans Beacon House, who gets the proceeds from your book sales. And what I was very surprised to see, I actually looked that up, is that there are 32 different numbers, facilities that your organization supports for homeless veterans. And I was really surprised that there is such a need for that many locations like that. Maybe you might want to just talk about that.
Yes, well, I initially became involved with Beacon House through my work in the church on social justice, and was eventually able to help facilitate $200,000 grants to the organization, after which they put me on the board and then elevated me to board chair. So why do I care about the mentally ill Vietnam vets and the homeless? Because I, I had three pretty dark years of my own from 73 to 76, and I had a DWI conviction. I was doing, my behavior was erratic. Thank God I met my wife in 76, and I've been married 38 years since then, but and straightened out. But a lot of veterans have problems. And at Beacon House, we have actually 34 facilities now, and we have 320 beds. And we recently took over 42 beds at the Northport VA from Salvation Army. And we have a $7.6 million budget and 100 employees. So we're very excited about helping veterans.
That's good.
No, it's a tremendous organization, that I know. I know how Jim is. Yeah. I know Jim from the church also, and he's an activist. And actually, you mentioned your wife. Even how you met her was through being an activist. That was for yourself in reference to getting time due you. When Jim came back, well, you could tell the story.
Yes. Well, when I came back, first of all, they didn't take me back in sports. They told me Newsday is obligated to rehire you, but you enlisted. And our rules say only draftees' seniority is counted toward pension and salary levels and whatnot. So, you know, basically I filed a union grievance and won. And they wound up crediting the 3 years service time since I had enlisted. And the reason I enlisted was I didn't want to go to Vietnam as an infantryman. And I wound up being sent anyway as a clerk. So my grand plan backfired. But eventually I got $1,500 in back pay, went out and bought a few suits, and got my name on the front page of the union newsletter, which was graphically designed by my future wife. And we struck up a conversation, arranged to meet, went on a few dates, and a year later we were married.
Yeah, you covered that in the book, and you were very honest about what you said was a rough patch for 3 years in the book as well. And I could, you know... This is not a political show, but most people who go through any of that stuff or were in the military at all are really not big fans of war after it's all over. Like the statistics on Vietnam, 58,000 U.S. people, soldiers, whatnot, were killed in Vietnam. 1,100,000 North Vietnamese people were killed, and 230,000 South Vietnamese people. You think about the... You know, the human toll and the people who are hurt like the guys you have, you know, emotionally and mentally. When people say, well, let's just go over there and, you know, knock them off or do this. I don't know if they really think it through in terms of what it does to everybody, you know.
We're going to have to take a break, but I want to continue on that when we come back. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're right back.